A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 9th chapter, verses 1 to 17. Verse 1. Shri Shuku Vacha, Amshumam Shat Pastepe, Gangana Yanakam Yaya, Kalamahanta Nashaknot, Yata Kalina Sanstita. Shukadev Goswami continued. King Amshuman, like his grandfather, performed austerities for a very long time. Nonetheless, he could not bring the Ganga to this material world, and thereafter, in due course of time, he died. Mukam karati vachalam pangalangayate griyakipantanam bande shi purun jinacharinam om magyana chinarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshumini jamyena tasmai shi navayam. So what do you remember from chapter 5? Long time ago. Does anybody remember anything from chapter 5? It was about Ambarish. Ambarish. Yes?
The Vyasa Muni was quite eager to get relief from the chakra.
Right.
Rama could not help him because they knew the system that if you offend the devotee of the Lord, then the Lord will not forgive you.
Right.
And then Vasudeva came to the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, who also didn't give him directly the solution, but indirectly he told him what to do to get relief.
Right. He couldn't. Why couldn't Vishnu help him? One verse. He says, Aham bhakta paradino. Yes, he says, I am not independent. I have no freedom. I cannot help you. I am under the control of my devotee. So you have to go to him if you want relief. He is the controller. I'm not the controller.
He said, oh Chakra, you're all pervading, supreme personality, you're supreme.
And right.
So on. And he even asked for the benefit of Durvasa Muni.
Right. He thought for the benefit, even though Durvasa tried to kill him, he was seeking for his benefit.
Which was appreciated by Durvasa Muni after he
yes.
came to his senses.
He came to his senses.
He said, well, I offended you.
Right. So then he understood the greatness of Maharaj Ambarish. What happened in chapter 6? Whole line? Muchukunda. Okay, from Ikshvaku. Sobari Muni. Okay, chapter 6, Sobari Muni. He's at the bottom of the Yamuna meditating.
Yes, and becomes carried away, sees two fish copulating.
Right.
So he comes out and married 50 daughters of King.
Came out and got married. 50 daughters.
King
Mantata. Mantata.
And then, if he got 5,000 children altogether?
5,000.
And then, after some time, long time actually, he comes out of
okay. In chapter 7, what happened in chapter 7? More, yes, Adi Purush?
Harishchandra.
Okay. And his son? Rohita. Vasishta and Vishwamitra quarreling, and they became a duck and a bird and kept on fighting. Yes. Because Vishwamitra, the story isn't there. He took everything away from Harishchandra, all his everything. And he ended up being one of those people at the burning ghat who burns bodies, Harishchandra. And his wife came, the son died, and the wife came with the son, and she didn't have money to pay for the burning, and he wouldn't burn the body. Anyway, that's in Mahabharata or somewhere, that story. So chapter 8, that's the one just before this. Let's see, anybody else? Yeah. Sagar, King Sagar.
Indra stole a horseman for sacrifice, so one of his sons made the people a horse.
Yeah, so Sagar is performing horse sacrifices, and Indra seems to always steal the horse. Seems to be a habit with Indra. When Prithu Maharaj tried to make a sacrifice, Indra stole the horse. And now again, Sagar is performing sacrifice, Indra stole the horse. Okay. They found it.
Right by the ashram of Kapiladeva.
Kapiladeva, okay.
They automatically put together that Kapiladeva must have been a thief, so they tried to. They said they were going to kill him.
Right.
And just by their own thoughts, they burnt to ashes.
By their own thoughts, they burnt to ashes. Okay. So don't offend the Lord or Vaishnava. So now we're continuing with the story of bringing the Ganga down to earth. And Amshuman tried to do it, but he could not bring the Ganga, and he died. Verse 2, like Amshuman himself, Dilipa, his son, was unable to bring the Ganga to this material world. He also became a victim of death in due course of time. Then Dilipa's son, Bhagirath, performed very severe austerities to bring the Ganga to this material world. Thereafter, Mother Ganga appeared before King Bhagirath and said, I'm very much satisfied with your austerities, and I am now prepared to give you benedictions as you desire. Being thus addressed by Ganga Devi, Mother Ganga, the king bowed his head before her and explained his desire. Mother Ganga replied, when I fall from the sky to the surface of the planet Earth, the water will certainly be very forceful. Who will sustain that force? If I am not sustained, I shall pierce the surface of the earth and go down to Rasatala, the Patala area of the universe. O King, I do not wish to go down to the planet Earth, for there the people in general will bathe in my water to cleanse themselves of the reactions of their sinful deeds. When all these sinful reactions accumulate in me, how shall I become free from them? You must consider this very carefully. So Ganga is bringing up two objections why she doesn't want to come down. And the purport Srila Prabhupada quotes from Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam vaja hang chang sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami mashchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Supreme Personality of Godhead can accept the reactions of anyone's sinful deeds and neutralize them because he is pavitra, pure, like the sun, which is never contaminated by any worldly infection. Tejiyasam nadoshaya vahne samabhujo yatha. One who is very powerful is not affected by any sinful activity. But here we see that Mother Ganga fears being burdened with the sins of the people in general who would bathe in her waters. This indicates that no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is able to neutralize the reactions of sinful deeds, whether one's own or those of others. Sometimes the spiritual master, after accepting a disciple, must take charge of that disciple's past sinful activities, and being overloaded, must sometimes suffer, if not fully, then partially, for the sinful acts of the disciple. Every disciple, therefore, must be very careful not to commit sinful activities after initiation. The poor spiritual master is kind and merciful enough to accept a disciple and partially suffer for that disciple's sinful activities. But Krishna, being merciful to his servant, neutralizes the reactions of sinful deeds for the servant who engages in preaching his glories. Even Mother Ganga feared the sinful reactions of the people in general and was anxious about how she would counteract the burden of these sins. So what does Srila Prabhupada recommend to counteract the burden of sinful reactions in case you... Yes, Jamashmi?
Preaching.
preaching, go out and preach. So if you feel like you're getting contaminated, getting stagnant in your spiritual life, go out and preach. This is Prabhupada's solution here. You clean the darkness from your heart by putting on the light. So there are many purports where Srila Prabhupada gets into this about the guru, that when a Brahmin performs a sacrifice for somebody, it then he takes on the sinful reactions of that person. He gives his, the results of his pious acts are diminished. If a Brahmin goes and does a sacrifice, then he, Prabhupada says this in 6735 purport, that his pious activities are diminished by doing that sacrifice. And the sinful reactions of the person are diminished also by that priest. So one time, Shyam Sundar, he asked Srila Prabhupada, he's my godbrother, he asked Srila Prabhupada, one time, Prabhupada, you said sometimes you feel sickness or pain due to sinful activities of your devotees or disease. Can that be caused by that? Srila Prabhupada said, yes. He says, Krishna says, aham tvam sarvapape bhyo, I will deliver you. So Krishna is so powerful, he can do it. But when a living entity plays a part of Krishna, then sometimes he has to suffer and take responsibility. And so what are the ways that the guru suffers? Sometimes he has bad dreams. Sometimes he has some disease. And sometimes he has more disease. One time, Prabhupada, he had a very big infection on his toe, and he also said that was due to his disciples' sinful activities. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, don't take many disciples. But Prabhupada said, for preaching work, we have to do it. So therefore, we do it. And another time, Giriraj Swami asked Srila Prabhupada, well, the spiritual master suffers for the sinful activities. Well, what kind of sinful activities does a spiritual master suffer? What kind of sinful activities does a disciple do that will cause the spiritual master suffering? So can anybody answer that question? Yes? Regular forward principles, okay? Anything else? Is there anything more than that? Hare Purush? If you don't chant your rounds, Vaishnava Parad? Yeah, so Prabhupada's answer was, again, following the four regular principles. If you break it, you break your promise and do nasty things, then you're sinful, Prabhupada said. And so Giriraj Maharaj also wanted to find out more, so he asked Prabhupada, he says, but there's other things, you give us instructions, and suppose we try, but we cannot do it perfectly. And so Prabhupada, what is that? What do you mean? So Giriraj Swami said, like chanting attentively, sometimes we try, but we cannot chant attentively. So Srila Prabhupada said, well, that's not a fault. That is due to your inexperience, sometimes you fail. And then he quoted a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Which verse would that be? To support the fact that sometimes we may not do it perfectly. Charamashtami.
I would guess.
Apichet saracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak. Is that what you say, Adi Purush? Tume nagnir, okay. That all endeavors are covered by some fault. You were thinking of that? 1847. Okay. Now, Prabhupada was thinking more of apichet saracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak. That even if somebody is a devotee, he performs abominable activities, if he's sincerely engaged in devotional service, then he should be forgiven. This habit is second nature. And so, Prabhupada says also, one thing you should not do is commit offenses on the strength of chanting. Just like you think, okay, now I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and I can do some sinful activities. And I will neutralize it by the chanting. He said, that's also sinful. Jamashtami. Oh, accountability for the spiritual master.
And
so he has to train his disciple properly so he won't commit sins.
Understands that if he makes a mistake, then the spiritual master is going to suffer. So
right.
Impetus for him not to.
Yeah, so the impetus for the disciple not to commit sins is that his guru will suffer. And the impetus for the guru to train the disciple so his disciple won't commit sin, so he'll suffer. So he won't suffer.
So have you ever read that? I mean, oftentimes
no.
Behind a kind of a basic law of spiritual nature, you know, there's an underlying principle behind it.
Well, the principle for the disciple is there for sure. Prabhupada had, and in these words here, he says that yes, it is the duty of disciples to be cautious. My spiritual master has saved me. I shouldn't put him again into suffering. So for the disciples, certainly that principle is there. But for the guru, I never read that, okay, I better train them so then I don't suffer. I don't think that's a principle.
So then it's kind of the spiritual master's a mercy extension.
Yeah, he's just mercy.
Yeah.
That,
so this is a form of that mercy.
It's a form of the mercy, yes. It's a principle for the disciple, for sure, that not to commit sins, especially after initiation. And so one time, Prabhupada was asked the question by Bob Cohen, sometimes your question was, when I suffer, is it due to my past misdeeds? Prabhupada said, yes, I had one misdeed. He says, I accepted some disciples who are nonsense. That was my misdeed. And so that is... this happens. He says, because we're accepting so many men, and so therefore it is a duty of the disciples to be cautious. Oftentimes when Srila Prabhupada was here, then every once in a while he'd said, okay, now be more cautious about who you recommend for Brahman initiation. He would sometimes do like that. I remember I had to wait like one or two years for Brahman initiation, which usually it was only 1 year. But Prabhupada was getting strict again. And so to get the Brahman initiation, you had to wait longer just to make sure you could follow for that length of time. Yes?
You've got devotees like Radhanath Swami.
Mm-hmm.
You always have to wait about 5 years.
If
they're not in
song. Many years.
So they make it a little difficult. You
know? Yeah, that's good. It's better to be safe. Well, that's very good. It should be like that, that it's a privilege to become a brahmachari. And so Bob Cohen, he's, of course, my godbrother now. Before he was a Peace Corps worker, and he was asking Srila Prabhupada these questions as an innocent person, bystander. He says, so your suffering is not the same kind of pain? And Prabhupada said, no, it's not due to karma. He said, the pain is there so the disciples may know, due to our sinful activities, our spiritual master is suffering. And so this is, yes, Prabhu. Krishna neutralizes them, yes. He neutralizes them, but Prabhupada said, sometimes he suffers just to show the disciples that if they don't follow properly, then he will suffer. Yes. Right. Yeah, that's... Prabhupada said that here, that there's a big fire, Krishna is a big fire, and the Guru is a small fire. So sometimes if you put too much on the small fire, it may go out. So that happens sometimes, I think, here. Big fire and small fire. If you put a big thing in a small fire, the fire itself may be extinguished. He said, but a big fire can consume everything. So devotees have to be careful. So all of you are expected, actually, to become gurus at some stage of your life. And so this is also for you. When you become spiritual master, you should know that when you do your initiation ceremony for your disciples, you get all their sinful reactions, their past sinful reactions. Of course, if you're preaching, then Krishna, though to the extent you're preaching, Krishna neutralizes all those sinful reactions. But as I was saying in a previous class, Indradumna Swami, he noticed after one initiation ceremony that he felt sick, although he was in the best of health. And then he slipped and fell and knocked his head in the bathroom and fell unconscious. And he said, okay, no more initiations for me. But then again, he did it. And so even now, it's happening. It's happening. They realize that. Yes? Oh, you mean... long ago.
Yeah.
Not in...
now it's so completely different.
Well, it's Kali Yuga.
Yes.
Yes, he doesn't see who's qualified and who's unqualified. If you can simply follow chant, follow four regulative principles in chant 16 rounds, you're accepted in the ashram, pretty much. So let's go on. Verse 6. Now the answer to Ganga Devi. Bhagira said, those who are saintly because of devotional service and are therefore in the renounced order, free from material desires, who are pure devotees, expert in following regulative principles mentioned in the Vedas, are always glorious and pure in behavior and are able to deliver all fallen souls. When such pure devotees bathe in your water, the sinful reactions accumulated from other people will certainly be counteracted. For such devotees always keep in the core of their hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can vanquish all sinful reactions. So we'll go to the purport about three lines down. Rupa says, devotees and saintly persons advanced in the renounced order can deliver even the Ganga. Tirti kurvanti tirtani swantasthena skatgadabhita. Because saintly devotees always keep the Lord within the core of their hearts, they can perfectly cleanse the holy places of all sinful reactions. Therefore, people in general must always respectfully honor saintly persons. It is ordered that as soon as one sees a Vaishnava or even a sannyasi, one should immediately offer respects to such holy man. If one forgets to show respect in this way, one must observe a fast for that day. This is a Vedic injunction. One must be extremely careful to refrain from committing offenses at the lotus feet of a devotee or saintly person. So how do we follow this instruction of Srila Prabhupada here, that whenever, because we're seeing Vaishnavas the whole day, so we'll be on the ground the whole day if we follow this. Yes, Madhavendra?
Sure.
In the morning, yes. Yeah. Well, you should. If you didn't see them, usually if the first time you see them is what the rule that I learned was, the first time you see them, you should offer obeisance, but not every time, but just like the first time. Yeah, the guru you do every time. Your guru, your particular guru, every time.
No.
Even? Okay, you can fight it out after class. Janamashtami. No, okay. All right, anyway. Yes, it's better not to do in front of the deities if you can avoid it. But if you are afraid of doing Aishava Parad, then okay, do it. Offer obeisances. So, yes, to your guru. You may stop your puja for anyone, actually, not just the guru. You may stop your puja to receive a guest. Yeah. So sometimes you see the pujaris, they're just going to close the door, then they stop and they come out and get the garlands and offer. They do that. Yes. Okay, the question is, while you're chanting Gayatri Mantra, should you receive a guest? Okay, according to Shashinandan Swami's Gayatri book, you stop your Gayatri, receive the guest, and then you can chant your Gayatri again. So he is our authority on Gayatri. Now I have...
It's not his book, he's quoting...
Yes.
...innumerable quotes from Shruti and Smriti.
So I have a nice quote here about how Ganga can purify someone, but pure devotees can purify even the Ganga. It's from First Canto, First Chapter, 15th verse. Yatpara sanshaya sutta munaya pashamanaya sadhya punanti paspishta svartu nyapuno sevaya. O Sutta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the waters of the Ganga can sanctify only after prolonged use. So pure devotees are more powerful than the water of the Ganga. Ganga may take a long time to purify, but the devotees, just a glance, just a word, just seeing, just a darshan of the pure devotee can change your life. And I'm sure many of us have had that experience. With Srila Prabhupada also, wherever he went, he would change people's lives. People who would just see him on the airplane or would just see him in passing, they would never forget him. So this is Tirti Kurvanti Tirtani. that the pure devotee, wherever he goes, he makes the holy place holy. He makes works auspicious. He makes the scriptures authoritative. So now we have an example. We're in a holy place right now. We're here in Vrindavan. And we see that people come and they don't understand what is the Dham, that they come here and they contaminate the place. Often, when devotees like to stay in the holy places and do bhajan. And pilgrims, they go to bathe in the sacred rivers, but we see that they leave their sins here for sure. And sometimes even commit new sins while traveling on pilgrimage. And then commercialism comes. If you just see across the street from the temple, there's so many trinkets, so many cassettes, so many things, so many souvenirs. And many Indians, they have this idea that to go to a holy place means you take your family, you go to the river, you bathe. After bathing, you have a picture. Or you go to the temple, you have a picture of everybody in the temple. Then you go in some place and eat. And then you go back, and that's your pilgrimage. But actually, there's something missing in that pilgrimage. What's the thing that's missing? Hari Purush? Hearing Krishna Katha from a pure devotee. Serving the sadhus. Well, you serve them by hearing especially. So to purify the holy places, the pure devotees come. Even by bathing in the Jamuna or by their Krishna Katha, they purify the holy places. So verse 7 is going to be glorification of Lord Shiva, who is about to catch Ganga Devi on his head. So recently, last week, it was Shivaratri. So in honor of Lord Shiva, we have a very nice verse here, verse 7. Dhayishyati te vegam rujastvatma sharinam yasminottamidam potam visham sat ivatantasu. Like a cloth woven of threads extending for its length and breadth, this entire universe in all its latitude and longitude is situated under different potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is the incarnation of the Lord, and thus he represents the super soul in the embodied soul. He can sustain your forceful waves on his head. So this is the answer to Ganga's objection. Her waters will be very forceful. So when I read this verse, something struck me. Interesting. And that is that Lord Shiva represents the super soul. Find that interesting? Usually we thought, well, isn't it Vishnu? But here it says Lord Shiva represents the super soul and the embodied soul. How is that? How does Lord Shiva represent Super Soul? Jai Nitai Gaur.
Well, also Guru is represented in the Super Soul.
Okay, Guru is also there. In fact, they're having a nice kirtan. Yes.
Okay, so somewhere it is said that Shiva has also the knowledge of the past and the future.
Past and future. And Super Soul. But what is Lord Shiva doing there as the representative of Super Soul? Abhay? Mahavishnu glances. Lord Shiva carries the glance. Okay, so how does Lord Shiva represent the super soul in the heart? Yes. He can represent super soul as guru in the heart, Cheta Guru. How else can he represent super soul? Husband of Durga, as husband of Durga, he's representing super soul? I don't think she needs help. I think she's quite powerful. She can get our thoughts any way she likes, as she likes. She doesn't need his help. Yeah. Okay. Why is that? What is this longitude and latitude? Why is that? Prabhupada explains in the purport. Yes. And he's actually, Prabhupada says in the purport that this, basically we're in the mode of ignorance, this universe. So therefore, that's why Lord Shiva is longitude and latitude, because it's all in ignorance. And he's in charge of the mode of ignorance. So, still you didn't answer my... Well, you kind of answered it. But actually, Lord Shiva represents time. Oh, Adi Purush, is that what you were going to say?
I'm going to say that Lord Shiva is in charge of false ego.
Okay, that's also a good answer. Lord Shiva is in charge of false ego.
Whoever is here, you know, they have false ego.
Yes. So he may be in our, we may hear some voices in our heart. And one of the voice is coming from Super Soul. The other one is coming from Lord Shiva as false ego, saying, yes, you deserve this, yes. Telling you so many nice things about yourself. Yes, Abhay. Yes. Yes, Super Soul is there and Lord Shiva is there, but they have different functions. Of course, as representative of Super Soul also is witness, and Lord Shiva is witness. So as witness, he's also representing Super Soul. And as time, because he has to note down all of our sinful activities and our pious activities, so Lord Shiva is also, and also to push us as time, Lord Shiva is there. So we'll go to a little bit of the purport. Water of the Ganga is supposed to rest on the head of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who sustains the entire universe by different potencies. Lord Shiva is described in Brahma Samhita. Shiram yatada divikara vishesha yoga sanjaya chena hitata pitagasti hecha yasham bhutam apitata samapaitikarya govindamati purusham tamaham bhajami. End of the purport. Srila Prabhupada explains that the material world exists predominantly in the mode of ignorance. Therefore, Lord Shiva is compared here to longitude and latitude of the entire universe, which resembles a cloth woven of threads extending for both its length and breadth. So here I have a magazine about Lord Shiva, Krishna Katamrita, and there's a nice little part here which I'll read to you about Shiva Tattva. In Bhagavatam, it explains Lord Shiva. Nimnaganam yatha ganga devanam machito yatha vaishnavanam yatha shambho purananam idam tatha. Ganga is best of the rivers, Lord Vishnu is best of lords, so vaishnavanam yatha shambho. Shiva is the chief of all Vaishnavas. Purananam idam, and of all Puranas, Bhagavatam is the best. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ananta brahmande ruta sadashivir ansha gunavatara teha sarva deva avatansha. Rudra, who is an expansion of Sadashiva, who appears in unlimited universes, is also a guna avatar, qualitative incarnation, and is the ornament of all demigods in the endless universes. Teho karen krishna dasya pratyash nirantara kohe shiva mui krishna das. He also desires only to be a servant of Lord Krishna. She, Sadashiva, always says, I am a servant of Lord Krishna. Krishna peme unmata vivala dikambar, Krishna guna lila gai nache nirantar. Intoxicated by ecstatic love for Lord Krishna, he becomes overwhelmed and incessantly dances without clothes on, singing about Lord Krishna's qualities and pastimes. And then Lord Shiva, he gives Markandeya offers a prayer to Lord Shiva in 12th canto. Varame kam vine tapi purna kama pivarshana bhagavatya chitam bhaktim tapareshu tatatvayi. O Lord Shiva, you are completely full, purna. You fulfill all desires of your devotees. Therefore, seeing you, I am offering this prayer. Please fulfill my desire. Let me have unflinching bhakti unto Krishna and unto you, who are completely surrendered unto Krishna. So if you want to, you can go to Gopishwar in Loy Bazaar, and you can pray to Lord Shiva to please give me bhakti to Krishna. So there's one more verse from Bhagavatam 4:30-38. Vayam tu sakshat bhagavan bhavasya priyasya sakyukshana sangamena siddhishtikityasya bhavasya mityor pisaktamam twadyagatingatasmam. Dear Lord, this is by the Prachetas to Lord Vishnu. By virtue of a moment's association with Lord Shiva, who is very dear to you, who is your most intimate friend, we were fortunate to attain you. You are the most expert physician, capable of treating the incurable disease of material existence. On account of our great fortune, we have been able to take shelter your lotus feet. So Lord Shiva can help us to get Krishna prema if we pray to him, especially here in Vrindavan. You can go to Gopishwar and ask him, not only can he give us Krishna prema, he can give us entrance into the Holy Dham, because he's a protector of the Holy Dham. And so if you want to enter Vrindavan Dham, you want to enter Goloka Vrindavan, then you have to pray to Lord Shiva for entrance, because he's protecting. Loy Bazaar, not Loy Bazaar, a little past.
In the beginning.
Near the Gopinath Bazaar. Yeah, Gopinath Bazaar. Behind Loy Bazaar, Gopinath Bazaar. Yeah. Yes, Bankandi Mahadev, if you don't want to go so far. You can just go to Bankandi Mahadev. Otherwise, if you're an adventurer, you can go to Gopinath Bazaar and see Gopishwar, Lord Shiva. Yes, so verse 8, after saying this, Bhagira satisfied Lord Shiva by performing austerities. O King Parikshit, Lord Shiva was very quickly satisfied with Bhagirath. Purport, the words Ashvatushyata indicate that Lord Shiva was satisfied very soon. Therefore, another name for Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. Materialistic persons become attached to Lord Shiva because Lord Shiva bestows benedictions upon anyone and everyone very quickly, not caring to know how his devotees prosper or suffer. Just, they come to Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva's doing his meditation and they're disturbing him. He says, okay, just take and go. He doesn't care if it's good for them or not good for them. But Vishnu is not like that. He cares. Although materialistic persons know that material happiness is nothing but another side of suffering, they want it, and to get it very quickly, they worship Lord Shiva. Verse 9. When King Bhagirath approached Lord Shiva and requested him to sustain the forceful waves of the Ganga, Lord Shiva accepted the proposal by saying, "Let it be so." Then, with great attention, he sustained the Ganga on his head, for the water of the Ganga is purifying, having emanated from the toes of Lord Vishnu. So there's a nice verse glorifying Ganga and Lord Shiva. 1:19:6. Yavai lasashi tulasi vimishra krishnangi renva pyatikam punetvi Punati lokan upayatisheshan kastana saveta marishamana. The river Ganga, by which the king sat to fast, carries the most auspicious water, mixed with the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord and tulsi leaves. Therefore, that water sanctifies the three worlds, inside and outside, even sanctifies Lord Shiva and other demigods. Consequently, everyone who is destined to die must take shelter of this river. So anybody here who's not destined to die? We're all destined to die. You're not destined. Okay. Spirit soul doesn't die. Very good. Yes, we are not destined to die. But the body is destined to die. So therefore, we must go and take shelter of Jamuna, since we're in Vrindavan. And there's another verse, 3:28:22. Titena Murtati Kritena Shiva Shiva Put Tiatur Manashamala Shaila Nishista Vatram Tiayet Shiram Bhagavatas Charanaravindam. The blessed Lord Shiva becomes all the more blessed by bearing on his head the holy waters of the Ganga, which has as its source the water that washed the Lord's lotus feet. A relationship of lotus feet of the Lord can even enhance the importance of Lord Shiva, what to speak of other ordinary living entities. So one time is described in 5th canto, 17th chapter. Lord Vishnu approached Bali Maharaj. We heard that Leela, where he appeared as Vamanadev. With two steps he covered everything, and he pierced the covering of the universe with the toe of his left foot. And a few drops of water, Prabhupada says, a few drops from the causal ocean fell in. And those few drops are the Ganga River. And they fell on the head of Lord Shiva. And guess how long they stayed on the head of Lord Shiva? 1,000 millenniums on the head of Lord Shiva. Quite a long time. And so this is the Ganga River. It flows to the heavenly planets, which are located here. It says the heavenly planets are located on the soles of Lord Vishnu's feet. Interesting. The Ganga River is known by many names, such as Bhagirathi, Janavi, purifies Dhruvaloka, planets of the seven sages, and then it goes to the spaceways in billions of celestial airplanes, the Milky Way. Then it comes to the moon and finally reaches Lord Brahma's abode atop Mount Meru. So this is the trip, 517, that's a summary, 5th canto, 17th chapter. So Lord Shiva is known as Gangadhar. That's a name for Lord Shiva, because he carries the Ganga on his head. Although he has the half moon on his forehead, to give respect to Ganga, he puts the Ganga above this half moon symbol. So verse 10, the great and saintly King Bhagirath brought the Ganga, which can deliver all fallen souls, to that place on earth where the bodies of his forefathers lay burnt to ashes. Bhagirath mounted a swift chariot and drove before Mother Ganga, who followed him, purifying many countries, until they reached the ashes of Bhagirath's forefathers, the sons of Sagara, who were thus sprinkled with water from the Ganga. But before he got there, he stopped in Mayapur. So I'll read about that. What happened when the Ganga reached Mayapur? This is at Ganganagar. This is Navadvipa Mahatmya. This Ganganagar was founded by Bhagirath. When the Ganga came down, King Bhagirath led the way, blowing a conch shell. But when the Ganga arrived at Navadvipa Dham, she stopped and would not proceed. Bhagirath saw this and became fearful. Retracing his steps, he came towards the Ganga. At the place Ganganagar, he began to perform austerities. Satisfied with this, Ganga Devi personally appeared before him. Bhagirath said, "Mother Ganga, if you do not proceed on, my forefathers will never be delivered." So guess what Ganga Devi said? "Listen, my dear child, just stay here patiently for a few days. Now we're in Navadvipa and Magh month is coming. At the end of Falgun month, I will go deliver your forefathers. My waters emanate from the lotus feet of the Lord. So now here in his own dham, I would like to have my desires fulfilled. On Falgun Purnima, that is Gaur Purnima, birthday of the Lord, my vow will be completed. Then certainly I will go with you. Do not fear." So she wanted to wait for Gaur Purnima before she would go on. She did a vow, and she wanted to wait for Gaur Purnima, and then she went on. So Bhagirath stayed in Ganganagar until Gaur Purnima, Falgun Purnima. And then here is a Falashruti, one who, on Falgun Purnima, one who fast, takes bath in the Ganga, and worships Gauranga, will cross over the material ocean along with his ancestors, along with 1,000 ancestors. He attains Goloka after death, no matter where he dies. So, only 1,000. If you want to become an Uttamadikara, you may take more. 21 generations before and after. But if you just bathe in the Ganga on Gaur Purnima day in Mayapur and worship Gauranga, then you can take 1,000. So even if you're a Kanishta Adhikari, you can go there and you can get this benediction from Mother Ganga.
Does this mean you should do it only once, or you must do it
twice? Once. Why so many times? Once is enough. Just like when Ajamila, at the time of death, he just said once, Narayan. Actually, when Prabhupada was giving his first class on that verse, then the devotee who had written it, who had transcribed it, put down three times, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. Prabhupada said, no, only once. Once is enough. We don't have to chant many times. But we have to chant many times. So anyway, I have here a poem which I wrote last summer when I was swimming at the Ganga. So you can picture what happens in Mayapur every day at 4 o'clock. All the devotees go down to the Ganga. A lot of devotees do anyway. And it's quite a scene there in the summer. So here's what's happening there. Shimmering sun on the waves, blowing downstream. So we're in the Ganga, but sometimes it comes opposite. The wind comes opposite. Whirlpools, defeating any jacuzzi. Strongly massage our fingers, toes, and head. If we let go, we may drift. But we resist the pull and stand, tightly grabbing the sand with our toes, feeling Ganga's caress. As we sink below her waters, our worries cease, for Ganga cleanses our careworn minds. Gurukulis, swim across or float on inner tubes, sometimes throwing small girls 5 feet high in the air who turn somersaults on a splash landing. Mothers chant japa softly, barely audible above the children's shouts. Wind is blowing strongly, sand in your eyes. Uh-oh, watch out, buffaloes are coming. And sadly, we leave, shivering in the cold wind, reminding us of winter. And we pray to Mother Ganga, please give us as much taste for serving Krishna as we have for swimming in your pure waves. So that's summer days at the Ganga. And actually, Lord Shiva, he also came. So now Ganga Devi at Ganga Nagar, she stopped. Now there's another place where Lord Shiva came down. He was feeling separation after Ganga left and came down to Ganga Sagar. Then Lord Shiva was feeling separation. So while remembering the Ganga, the story is in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antyalila, chapter 2. So he came to one place called Chatrabhoga, overwhelmed with attachment for Ganga. As soon as he saw the Ganga, he entered the water, took the form of water, and merged in the Ganga. This is Lord Shiva. When Janavi, mother of the universe, saw Shiva, she worshipped him with great devotion. Shiva knew the glories of worshipping Ganga, and Ganga knew the glories of worshipping Shiva. So when Shiva came in touch with the water of the Ganga, he transformed into water, and Ganga humbly worshipped him. Shiva remained at that place in the form of water, so everyone glorified this place as Ambulinga Ghat. So he is still there in the form of a water linga in the Ganga. This is at Chatrabhoga, wherever that is. Ambulinga Ghat. It's after Mayapur. So I think it's around Calcutta or a little bit after. Yeah. So by the influence of the Ganga and Lord Shiva, this village of Chatrabhoga became most glorious and celebrated as a great Tirtha. This place became even more glorious after Lord Chaitanya visited and enjoyed pastimes here. The Lord went to Ambulinga Ghat at Chatrabhoga and saw the Ganga flowing in 100 streams there. So it's a place where the Ganga flows in 100 streams. On seeing the Ganga there, the Lord became overwhelmed with ecstasy and roared loudly while chanting the name of Hari. As the Lord forcefully fell to the ground, Nityananda caught hold of him, and all the devotees chanted, Jai, Hari, Hari, in great ecstasy. The Lord happily took bath at that Ghat with his associates. While taking bath, the Lord enacted many pastimes that will be described in the Puranas by Vedavyas. After completing his bath, Lord Chaitanya came out of the water. But as soon as he put on dry clothes, they became soaked with his tears of love. 100 streams of the Ganga were flowing on the earth, and another 100 streams were flowing from the Lord's eyes. So this is happening in the Ganga. So verse 12, because the sons of Sagar Maharaj had offended a great personality, the heat of their bodies had increased. They were burnt to ashes. But simply by being sprinkled with water from the Ganga, all of them became eligible to go to the heavenly planets. What then is to be said of those who use the water of Mother Ganga to worship her? Verse 13. Oh, there's a little bit of purport where Prabhupada explains that you worship the Ganga by offering her waters to herself. You see the people go in Ganga, they take some water in their palms, and then they offer it to Ganga. So Srila Prabhupada explains that when the devotee takes the water away from Ganga, she doesn't lose it anything. And when they offer it to Ganga, she doesn't gain anything. But the worshipper is benefited. Just like what is Krishna saying in Gita? Patram pushpam phalam toyam. All the flowers are his and all the leaves are his, but we offer them to Krishna and we get the benefit. So verse 13, simply by having water from the Ganga come in contact with the ashes of their burnt bodies, the sons of Sagar Maharaj were elevated to the heavenly planets. Therefore, what is to be said of a devotee who worships Mother Ganga faithfully with a determined vow? One can only imagine the benefit that accrues to such a devotee. So, and there's so many stories in the Puranas, in different places, that such and such was a big demon, and he went to hell for so many births, and then he became a snake for so many births, but then somehow the Ganga touched him, and then he took a four-handed form and went to Vaikuntha. And so we should also get the mercy of Ganga Devi and Jamuna Devi
and so we can become purified. 14. Because Mother Ganga emanates from the lotus toe of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Anantadev, she is able to liberate one from material bondage. Therefore, whatever is described herewith about her is not at all wonderful. And so Prabhupada says here in the purport, it has actually been seen, anyone who regularly worships Mother Ganga, simply by bathing in her water, keeps very good health and gradually becomes a devotee of the Lord. This is the effect of bathing in the water of the Ganga. Bathing in Ganga is recommended in all Vedic Shastras. One who takes to this path will certainly be completely free from all sinful reactions. Practical example of this is the sons of Maharaj Sagar went to the heavenly planets when water from the Ganga merely touched the ashes of their burnt bodies. So those who live in Mayapur, they know that what do the scientists, they say something about Ganga, the scientists? What do they say? They test the Ganga. They took it where dead bodies were. So full of bacteria at the beginning. And after 8 to 10 days, having the water sit, they let the water sit, it was completely free, 8 to 10 days. After 10 days, the residents of Mayapur drink the Ganga water. And don't filter it, just drink it. Yes. So if you live in Mayapur or you live near the Ganga, then you can drink the Ganga water. Yes. It's totally pure, despite the foam, despite the dirt. And don't drink the foam. Wait 8 to 10 days, and then it's safe to drink. Yes. But some people do immediately. You can do immediately if you have the faith. Yes, they drown. Every Gaur Purnima, somebody goes back to Godhead in the Ganga. So beware if you're not ready to go back to Godhead. Prashanta? In 83 you collected it. Still pure. Okay. So everyone who goes to Mayapur should definitely bathe in the Ganga. You collected Radhakund water. People wash their clothes there. Okay, wait 1 year for Radhakund. You can 8 to 10 days for Ganga and 1 year for Radhakund. And Jamuna, I don't know how long you have to wait.
So we should put it on the altar and worship?
Yes, you can worship Radhakund, Jamuna, Ganga. Yes, worshipable. Verse 15, great sages, completely freed from material lusty desires, devote their minds fully to the service of the Lord. Such persons are liberated from material bondage without difficulty. They become transcendentally situated, acquiring the spiritual quality of the Lord. This is the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all you have to do is give your mind to Krishna, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto, or as we hear of Maharaj Ambarish, Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayo. Now I have another insert here, if I can find it. Oh, here it is, about Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya was on his way to Shantipur, he came to the Ganga. And these are some prayers. Well, first, there's a verse describing Purna Kori Kori Len Ganga Jalapan Puna Puna Stuti Kori Koren Pranam. The Lord drank the water of the Ganga to his full satisfaction, and repeatedly reciting prayers, he offered obeisances. So these are Lord Chaitanya's prayers to Ganga found in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antya Lila, Chapter 1. Premarasa Swarup Tomar Divya Jal Shiva She Tomara Tattva Janen Shakal. Your divine water is a manifestation of the mellows of ecstatic love. Your glories are known to Lord Shiva. So actually, when you bathe in Ganga or Jamuna, not only do you feel clean outside, you feel clean inside. It goes all the way in to your intelligence, to your mind, to everything. You can feel it actually. Sakritamarnam Kavile Shavan Tara Vishnu Bhakti Hoy Kipura Pakan.
One attains devotional service to Vishnu simply by hearing your name, even once. What to speak of drinking your water. So we should all get devotional service. We've heard the name of Ganga many times today. And so we should definitely get pure devotional service. Here it says only once. Tomar prasade se shi krishna hanam nam swore jivaramukhe itenahi an. By your mercy, a living entity becomes qualified to chant the name of Krishna. There is no doubt about this. So if we worship Ganga, we can get the qualification to chant Hare Krishna, according to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kita paki kuko shigal jari hoi, tatapi toma jari nikate vashai, atapi tahar jato bhagira mahima, anyatre koti sharanahi tarasham. The good fortune of a wealthy person who lives elsewhere cannot be equated with the good fortune of insects, birds, dogs, or jackals that reside near you. So we saw some happy dogs in the Ganga this summer too. They go in, they bathe, they drink while they're bathing, and they come out with a happy smile. So there's Ganga dogs, there's Ganga insects also. And they're more, just imagine those little insects in the Ganga, they're more fortunate than a rich person who lives somewhere else. They're most fortunate. Potita torite se tomar avatar, tomar saman tumi bainahi ar. You have incarnated to deliver the fallen souls. There is no one equal to you. Now, Krishna Sandarbha, yosa niranjano devas chitsarupi janardana seva javarupena gangambo natasangshaya. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardana, whose form is completely spiritual, who is always free from material contact, personally appears in the form of the Ganga River. Mahabharata, sarvam kite yuge punyam tretayam pushkara smitam japare tu kurukshetram ganga kali yuge smita. All holy places bestow piety in Satya Yuga. Pushkar is most auspicious in Treta Yuga. Kurukshetra is especially auspicious in Dwapara Yuga. And Ganga is most auspicious in Kali Yuga. So in Kali Yuga we have the Ganga, most auspicious. Valmiki says, Papa Pahari Dirti Tari Tangara Taranga Tari Dirta Pachari Giriraja Guha Vidari Jankara Kori Haripada Roja Vihari Ganga Punatu Satatam Shubha Kori Vari. May the always auspicious waters of Ganga purify me. That water dispels all sins. It is the enemy of distress. It bears many waves. It travels far. It splits open the caves of the Himalayas. It makes a murmuring sound, and it sports in the dust of Lord Hari's feet. So these were the prayers offered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Mother Ganga. In the last two verses, 16-17, Bhagirath had a son named Shuta, whose son was Naba. This son was different from the Naba previously described. Naba had a son named Sindhudweep. From Sindhudweep came Ayutayu. From Ayutayu came Rituparna, who became a friend of Nalaraj. Rituparna taught Nalaraj the art of gambling, and Nalaraj gave Rituparna lessons in controlling and maintaining horses. The son of Rituparna was Sarva Kama. Purport. Gambling is also an art. Kshatriyas are allowed to exhibit talent in this art of gambling. By the grace of Krishna, the Pandavas lost everything by gambling and were deprived of their kingdom, wife, family, and home because they were not expert in the gambling art. Notice what Srila Prabhupada said here. By the grace of Krishna, they lost everything. So, if you lose everything, you should know it's by the grace of Krishna. Yes. Yes, Yaham, as we heard the theme song of the end of Canto 8, Yes, Yaham, Anugrihnami. If I am very merciful, I'll take everything away from you. Yes. So here, in other words, a devotee may not be expert in materialistic activities. It is therefore advised in the Shastra, materialistic activities are not at all suitable for the living entities, especially the devotees. A devotee should therefore be satisfied to eat whatever is sent as prasad by the Supreme Lord. A devotee remains pure because he does not take to sinful activities such as gambling, intoxication, meat eating, and illicit sex. So Prabhupada had to write this purport so the devotees would not go and imitate the Pandavas and imitate the Kshatriyas.
who were engaged in gambling. And the reason why they had to gamble is because they were challenged, and Kshatriyas always have to accept a challenge. It's part of the Kshatriya Dharma. They have to accept. If someone challenges them, Yudhisthira was challenged, he had to accept the challenge. So here, there is a name of a king, Nalarash, and in Mahabharata, there's a huge story about this king, Nala. Nala and Damayanti. I'll just summarize it to make it short, that he married this Damayanti, but before her marriage, some demigods also came to her Swayambar, and they wanted to marry her because she was so beautiful. But four demigods came, I think four of them, and they all changed their forms to look like Nala. And so there were five Nalas there. So she wanted Nala. She knew she liked him. So then what to do? They all look like Nala. So then she prayed to the demigods, and then they showed her that the real Nala was perspiring, his feet were touching the ground, his garland was fading, not like theirs. So then she married him. But then Kali was late. He heard of the Swayambar and he came late. And then he saw that she had already chosen Nala, and he was really upset with her. Kali. Kali, yes. He's a demigod. Kali. Kali. Yes. No, not. Kali means Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga Kali. He wanted to marry her. So then he convinced the brother of Nala to engage in gambling, and he became the dice, and he took everything away from Nala, and they went to the forest, and then he left her in the forest. It was a big tragedy, and then he got bit by, I can't remember the whole thing, somehow he changed his form, and then so he changed his form. He went to serve some other king somewhere Rituparna. He came to Rituparna, and he was the in charge of the horses. And he was so expert in horses, he could make them fly in the sky and go very quickly. So then Damayanti, meanwhile, she was serving at somebody's palace. And finally she got back home, and then she told somebody gave her the advice, you have a second Swayambar. You call for a second Swayambar. The only one who can make it by tomorrow is your husband, Nala. Because he knew how to do the chariots very fast, do the horses. So she announced a Swayambar, but only to, not to everyone, just to Rituparna somehow. Anyway, I don't know. So they came overnight, and he was upset with her because, you know, how she's having a second Swayambar. And Rituparna was all excited about getting married to Damayanti. But then, so she sent somebody to test her husband. He got some benedictions from the demigods, actually, that he could make fire immediately come from his hands. And from Agni, he got this benediction. He got different benedictions. So she sent one maidservant to watch him and how he was cooking. And she saw he was doing like this. Fire was coming. And so finally, she called him to meet him. And then she tested him also, and then it turned out that it was actually her husband in a different form. But then when he finally passed the test, then he changed his form, and of course they lived happily ever after. But in the meantime, Rituparna, so on the way there, Rituparna, he wanted to learn this horse, you know, how he does these horses. And so then Nala said, okay, if you teach me gambling, then I'll teach you how to take care of the horses. So on the way, he learned the art of gambling, and then he challenged his brother. He got the kingdom back, and they lived happily ever after. So this story is in Mahabharata. I just gave you a very short summary. There's so many trials on the way, of course, so many obstacles, but eventually they get back together. But Rituparna, he learned how to take care of horses, and it's not just ordinary taking care of the horses. It's like making them fly in the sky and go overnight to one place very far away. And then Nalaraj learned how to gamble, so he got his kingdom back. So anyway, we'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Yes? Okay, his question is that if an envious person looks at the deity covers himself, and if a pure person looks at the deity, then the deity shows himself. Yes. Well, of course, it's how you see everything. If an envious person looks at the deity, he's going to be envious. And so he already has the vision of envy. So he won't see, how can he see Krishna if he has the vision? Yes. Atmavan manyate jagat. So an envious person will be envious. How come, you know, they're giving this deity all these wonderful gold and how come not to me? How come I should get this gold and silver and all these things? Whereas a devotee will think, how beautiful is Krishna today? He's smiling and I wish I could give him more flowers and more nice clothes, nicer clothes. No, it's a matter of vision. He's always beautiful and he's open to everyone. He's sending his love, he's sending his mercy, but according to the capacity of the recipient, we learned in seventh canto, then we can receive the mercy. So if somebody is envious, then that's a block to receiving the mercy. Yes. Yes. Yeah, so how can the poor envious person be purified? Even the deities cannot help him. And what is the answer to this question? Yes.
Well, we heard in the story of
Devasamuni. Yes. Devasa, the deity, could not help him. Vishnu could not help him. There's your answer.
This change of mind could only happen when he developed bhakti for the devotee.
Yes, he could only change his heart when he developed service attitude and bhakti for Maharaj Ambarish.
Intelligence was developed.
Yes.
Persecuted by burning heat of Sudarshana chakra.
That also.
Only then, when he was afraid for his own life, only then his attitude changed.
Right. Right. But some people are not such extreme cases. They don't offend devotees. Most people, they come to the temple. They don't come. They're innocent, yes. So innocent people, they can associate with devotees and they can get purified. Also, even envious persons, the preacher, the Madhyama is advised not to preach to the envious person. Right. Although some devotees even preach to them, very strong uttamas or strong devotees can preach. But the Madhyama is advised not to preach to the envious. But for somebody who is innocent, then you can take advantage of the devotees' association and appreciate. Actually, we can see the deity through the eyes of the devotee who loves the deity. When you go, you may not appreciate the deity so much, but when you see somebody who really loves the deity and is worshipping the deity, then you can appreciate the deity more. And you see how they love. Just like today I was listening to the pastime of Kaliya, and you can see the love of the residents of Vrindavan. Krishna is actually showing how to love him. When Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya, then they all fainted and they felt like they were going to leave their bodies. Just a second of separation from Krishna is enough to finish their existence. Just a little separation, or if Krishna is in danger, that they think, then they are finished. So this is when we see the love, what is real love of the devotees, then we can appreciate what it means to love Krishna, how much love we have for Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
This is Sanatana Goswami. Other acharyas didn't agree. But Sanatana Goswami was making everything opposite.
Opposite.
That it was at Kaliya, he bit him, that was also out of love.
Yes,
he bit him out of love, and then he embraced him because he was so beautiful. He wanted to embrace Krishna and keep him for a long time in his embrace. Sanatan, he reverses it. Other acharyas don't agree with the Sanatan. Anyway, just enjoy the Leela. Don't worry about...
But it is very interesting that
it's very interesting. Sanatan Goswami. Yes, Sanatana Goswami, he says, we will discover many things next year about the Leela. There's many dimensions, there's many levels going on, there's many things going on. Krishna does, with one act, he does so many things. Many, many desires. And there was one tree there that got the mercy, the Kadamba tree. It's still there. You can go and see that tree who got the mercy, got the nectar from Garuda. That nectar, which everyone was fighting for, churning the ocean of milk, that tree got the nectar. It drank. That's why it's still here today, after 5,000 years, more than 5,000 years, the tree is still there. And it will remain probably another 5,000 years at Kadamratri. It's, you know, at Kaliyagat, the Kadamba tree that hangs over, kind of, that tree that kind of hangs over, it's from, that's the tree Krishna jumped off. The same, that's the only, practically the only tree left. And there was Imlitala disappeared. And, yes. 1617. Yeah, I think that's, I thought that was interesting too. I said, how does this follow here? It says, materialistic activities, I understand. Materialistic activities are not at all suitable for the living entities. A devotee should therefore be satisfied to eat whatever is sent by prasad by the Lord. This means don't work hard for your maintenance. You don't have to work hard. But you will get what you're going to get, you're going to get. And so therefore don't waste your time in economic development. Don't waste your time making money, but just serve Krishna. And a devotee should therefore be satisfied. So I was hearing a lecture, I think the other day, by Maharaj, who was giving Bhagavatam class. It was Nishinga Maharaj. And he was saying, sometimes we get a feast, and sometimes we don't get so much. So then we're just satisfied, then we live simply. Okay, now it's time to live simply. Krishna is not giving us a feast today. He's giving us Khichdi. He's giving us devotee prasad. He's giving us whatever. And so today we just eat like that. Whatever we get is satisfied. So the key word is satisfaction. And that was in especially Canto 7, satisfaction. Be satisfied. Be satisfied with whatever you get. And if you have that satisfaction, then you're happy. Otherwise, you're never happy. And I think Vamanadeva also said the same thing. That if I'm not satisfied with 3 steps of land, I won't be satisfied with getting the whole earth. Of course, he took a lot more. But anyway, cheating words. Very, very ambiguous words those were. He admitted, yes, I cheated. He admitted, I cheated, Bali Maharaj. In the end, he admitted that. Yes, so that means, tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido, that intelligent persons, they do not strive for those things which you obtain by going up to the highest planet down to the lowest, but you go for Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema. Okay? Yes? Anything else? Yes? Deities. Acha. Okay, Ramanujacharya gave a recommendation to the one materialistic person to see the eyes of the his eyes were attracted by his girlfriend, and he said, why don't you just see the eyes of the deity? We need recommendation here, but actually Prabhupada is so merciful, he just freely gave the deities to the, one time in Australia he said, I'm leaving Krishna in the hand of the malechas. He's saying, please, you have to take care of yourself. He's telling the deity, take care of yourself now. You're in the hands of malechas.
Please forgive them.
Please forgive them. Yeah. Please forgive them. Yes, yes. Well, we got the mercy. We're very fortunate. Actually, if you stay in this movement, then you will get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, he will give you the deities, he gives you the holy name, and he'll take you back to Godhead. If you just follow that, 16 rounds, 4 negative principles, you're guaranteed by Srila Prabhupada to go back to Godhead. And so we have to hold to his lotus feet very tightly. That is his mercy. His mercy is that even though we're unqualified, we have these deities. Just like my friend was telling me, you know, at Jagannath Puri, then, you know, we're not, you know, they don't let everybody in to see the deity, so they have one Jagannath at the main gate, just a little bit up, inside, Patita Pavan, which you can have darshan of. And she said it's so sweet out there. She says she sees all the rickshaw, all the untouchables, everyone comes there and offers prayers to this Patita Pavana. And it's just, you know, a bit inside the gate. And so, yes, in some places they still follow that rule. Yeah, Singhadwara. You can see, yeah, they're called Patita Pavana. I didn't either. That's why I never went there. Puri king married a Muslim girl. Okay, so the Puri king who married a Muslim became a Muslim, and so he made arrangements so he could see Jagannath. Okay, yes, so if you go to Puri, go to this main gate and look inside, and you will see you can offer your prayers to Patita Pavan, Jagannath. He's for the fallen, most fallen. Yeah, she told me a story. I'll tell you next year. You have to wait 1 year for the story. No, no, it's just, yes, yes. 1 year you fast, you starve. When you come back, if you, that means you have to come back to hear the story about, it's about how to deal with Lord Jagannath. He doesn't listen to your very humble prayers, but if you chastise him, then he listens. Anyway, you'll hear it next year when Damodar Leela comes and Mother Yashoda has her stick ready to chastise Krishna. Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, we'll stop here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.